Good morning. The scripture that Roger read this morning from Acts 16 tells about the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. I enjoyed reading about it because I recognized a lot of the things that Paul did as some of the things that I do when I get ready to leave. As a matter of fact, it's my belief that if the Apostle Paul were to take the Myers-Briggs personality test, he would be an INFJ. I think that because that's what I am, and I see so much of his planning like mine. He knew where he was going. He knew who he was going to take along with him. He knew when he was going to leave, and he knew just what he wanted to accomplish when he got there. I'll bet he had a master to-do list, and he checked off each thing as he accomplished it. And I'll bet, like me, he hoped and prayed that nothing would go wrong and would change at the end and make him have to redo all that planning that he did. Well, Paul and Silas were going to Asia. They were going to visit the churches that Paul had started on his first missionary journey and see how they were doing. But, the Holy Spirit blocked their way. So they had to make a change. They had to go to Troas instead. And it was that night that Paul had the vision. He saw the man from Macedonia standing before him, begging, come to Macedonia and help us. Wait a minute. Troas, he was going to Asia, and Macedonia's in Europe. That's a big change. Poor Paul, I'm sure, had to throw away his to-do list and start over again, but he knew that God was calling him to do it, and so he went. He went to Macedonia, and there is where he met Lydia, the woman who was a worshiper of God, whose heart had already been prepared for him to come. Now, let me tell you about another man whose goal and whose journey was changed because of a vision. His name is Hussein. Hussein was raised from babyhood to prepare him to take his father's place as a hardline cleric, as a Muslim cleric in Pakistan. And Hussein was almost finished with his training. He was finishing up at the University of New Delhi in India. And when he wasn't working, when he wasn't studying, he was working at his job on the border with Kashmir, between Kashmir and India. His job was to make certain that not one piece of Christian literature would make it into Kashmir and into Pakistan. One day, a Christian pastor from India came across the border, and it was pretty obvious that he had something in his clothes. So Hussein pulled his clothes off, and there was all this Christian literature, and all these tracts just fell onto the ground. Hussein was so furious, he picked up a club and just started beating the pastor. The pastor's friends finally dragged him away, and Hussein gathered the literature up, lit it on fire, and started a bonfire there with it. Everybody who was waiting to cross over the border just watching in shock. But Hussein missed one little tract, and he saw it, and he thought, oh no, somebody's going to pick that up. So he picked it up and stuck it in his pocket. That night, Hussein had a vision of Jesus standing before him with his arms out. And Jesus said, Hussein, follow me. Hussein recognized that it was Jesus, but he was confused because he had always been taught that Jesus was a great prophet, but he was certainly not the Son of God, and he was never crucified. So he said, Jesus, what's that on your hands? And in the vision, Jesus said, these are the marks of the nails. I was crucified. I died for you, Hussein. I rose again from the dead to be your Savior. Hussein, follow me. Hussein didn't know what to do. The next morning, he hurried back to the university went to the library, and he found an Arabic New Testament in Arabic. So he sat down and he read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. When he finished John and he got to the last verse that says there's so much more that he did that there's no way that we could write it all. The whole world wouldn't hold the records of all that Jesus did. Hussein fell on his knees in the library and said, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. I want you to be my Savior. I will follow you. What was he going to do next? He hurried home because he had to tell his family that he had found the truth. So he got home and he said to his father, 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 I know now that Jesus is the Son of God. His father took out a gun and shot him. Hussein ducked just in time so that the bullet lodged in his shoulder, and he started to run, but his brothers and his uncle caught him, threw him on the ground, doused him in kerosene, and lit him on fire. Hussein can't even remember how he got the flames out, how he managed to get up, but he got up and started running, but there was no place to go. There was nobody who was going to hide him, and he said, I'm going to die today, and if I die today, I want to die with Christians. But he didn't know any Christians. Then he pulled that tract out of his pocket, and it had the name and the address of the pastor that he had beaten at the border. And he made his way to that pastor's house, and he said, I want to die here with Christians. The pastor, who was still pretty beaten up himself, threw the door open. He welcomed him. He sheltered him. He tended to his wounds, and he started teaching him from the Bible. In time, he finally sent Hussein to Bible school, paid the bill himself. In our scripture lesson this morning, when Paul got to Macedonia, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. Then she and her entire household were baptized, and a new church was started in her home. When Hussein went back to Kashmir, there were only a handful of Christians there in the Pakistan corner of Kashmir. The persecution had been so severe that most had either been killed or had run for their lives. There was just these few Christians, and they were in hiding. And Hussein got there, and he said, No, we will not be in hiding. You will come out, we will start a church, and we will worship and trust God to do what he will in our lives. And that's what they did. Like Paul, Hussein started the first church there in the Pakistani corner of Kashmir. Two men, the Apostle Paul and Hussein. One mandate, take the gospel, and a mission. The mission, actually, I got off the back of our bulletin. You can see it right here in the back. A word about our faith. Our mission is to grow faithful disciples of Christ, Jesus Christ, through worship, through community, through study, through outreach. We meet our world with the love of Christ. There's the mission. So what about us here at Valley Covenant Church? What specific approach to that mission is God giving us for the future of our church here, and what specifically are we willing to do about it? Now, when Paul had that vision from the man from Macedonia, he had a lot of good reasons to say, no, I don't think I'm going to go. First of all, it was not in his plan. He didn't even have a place to stay in Macedonia. No hotels there. The journey would take too long. There's a lot of different kinds of people there. That's not the people I was planning on and I've prepared for. But Paul didn't say any of those things. He obediently set sail for Macedonia. Hussein also had a lot of good reasons to say no when God called him to preach. It goes against everything I've always been taught. It would be disrespectful to my father. It is way too dangerous. Even my family's trying to kill me. But he didn't say that. What Hussein said was, no one can take my life one moment before God ordains. And when it's my time to meet my Savior, no one can extend my life one minute. We at Valley Covenant Church also have good reasons for deciding what we should and what we shouldn't do. We have a small church. There aren't all that many of us to do the work. We're already involved in a lot of things, and then there's that budget problem. We can't afford it. All these things are true, every one of them. But you know what? There are other truths that we need to consider. Let me tell you four quick truths. The first truth is God leads us best when we're already moving. Paul's second missionary journey started when he told Barnabas, I think it would be a good idea for us to go check up on those churches we started on our first missionary journey, but right away they had a problem. John Mark. Were they going to take him? Paul said, no way. That wimp deserted us the first time. We're not taking him again. That's an INFJ. Barnabas said, weren't you listening to Pastor Steve's sermons? We're supposed to forgive him and give him another chance. Well, in the end, Barnabas took John Mark. They went to Cyprus. Paul took Silas, and they went to Asia. You see, the thing is, Paul was already moving, and he faced problems, and he faced uncertainties, but when he did, he kept right on moving, right on going, unless and until God himself stopped him. What was the result? Two teams of missionaries instead of just one. And in verse 5 of that chapter of Acts, we read that the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers every day. When our desire is to serve God, when our desire is to build his kingdom, to strengthen the churches, to work together with the global body of Christ, we can move forward and we can do it trusting God to lead us. That's our responsibility, to move, to do something more, to reach outside our comfort zone and trust God. Truth number 2, God leads us through open doors and also through closed ones. After Paul and Silas visited those churches that had already been started, they decided, let's go new places and let's start some new churches. That's a wonderful plan. It was a wonderful plan except for one problem. God stopped them. So they headed west. Holy Spirit stopped them. So they turned north and went toward Bithynia. Spirit wouldn't let them enter. Their options were getting pretty slim now. They went west again, and that's how they ended up in Troas. And that's when Paul had the vision of the man from Macedonia. Finally, God was leading them. Well, actually, God had been leading them all the time. They just couldn't see it. The problem is God says no more often than we would like him to. But here's the irony. When God says no, it's actually a positive thing. Hussein has a $2 million fatwa on his head. That means it's a religious bounty for anybody who kills him gets the money. And many people have tried in all kinds of ways over 25 years, and yet he's preaching and he says, why would I be afraid? God's in control of my life. Truth number 3. God often works through trials. Paul and Silas had hardly gotten started when they were arrested, put into shackles, thrown into prison, and beaten. But instead of plunging into despair, instead of railing at the injustice of it all, they started singing and praising God. Hussein knows a lot about suffering. He bears the scars of fire, of bullets, of lashings, everything you can imagine. Had he decided to quit preaching and just be a silent believer, who could have blamed him? It would have made sense, but he didn't do that. No matter how many problems and obstacles we face, we have plenty of reason to praise God, even as we're moving forward. God is in the business of bringing good out of bad. We see that throughout Scripture, story after story. For Paul and Silas, the prison doors swung open, their shackles fell off, and they were free. But you know what? That wasn't the real miracle. The real miracle is that the jailer and his whole household joined the family of God that day. Hussein, for over 25 years, people have been trying to collect that $2 million. But yet he lives and he preaches in Kashmir. But that's not the real miracle. The real miracle is that there are so many people who have become Christ followers in Pakistani-controlled Kashmir. Churches exist there now, and they are growing. That is the real miracle. You know, we can trust God just like that, to carry out his to help us and guide us as we seek to carry out his message. And we can praise him starting right now because he's already promised he'll do it. It's as good as done. Truth number four. As we move forward, God will do great things here at Valley Covenant Church. He changed Paul. He changed Hussein. God is in God is used to changing one person at a time. And you know, a lot of you are already affecting people's lives. You may not hear people talking about it. You may not even see the difference that you're making. But God is at work here in this body. So, where do we need to grow? How might we best accomplish our mission of growing faithful disciples of Jesus Christ by meeting our world with the love of Christ? Where do we need to step out by faith and move? Communion Sunday, I think, is a wonderful time to ask God to make his leading clear to us, both personally and as a church. And I'd like to ask each of us to pray, "Here am I, Lord. What would you have me to do?" Amen.